The last two sessions we devoted to the discussion of the Rambam, which is the single piece of paper you have in front of you, where the Rambam comments on the Pasuk in Chumash, Vosofo Seinecho. This is relevant. Something that we just read in the Parshas HaShavua yesterday had to deal with someone who's a Rotzeach, not being merachim on him, not taking ransom, that he should somehow be able to have himself free and be exonerated, but obviously he's a Rotzeach. So the Ram goes on, and Allah says, which is on the line, Avzu misses also asesh, and Allah has never shavod it. It's the din we've been discussing for the last several shiurim, that one is not allowed to have rachmanis on the nefesh of a rodef. The tikkun chovu chacham is the Mishnah that we have been discussing. Mishnah at the end of the seventh parak of Olos. But ubroshi mekasha lele, a mother who's having difficulty in her pregnancy and giving birth, mutalachtach uba b'meyel. The halacha is you're allowed to snuff out the life of the fetus, ben b'sam ben b'yad, but it's done in a direct way or indirectly. So we mentioned that this is the subject of a big machlokes among the Rishonim. Rashi takes the tack that prior to the birth of the child is not a nefesh. And the halacha tells us that we're not allowed to kill a nefesh, but it's not a nefesh. And once the child emerges, so that's what the Mishnah writes, in dechin nefesh and in nefesh. Now the child becomes a nefesh, but prior to the birth of the child, prior to the head of the child emerging, as the Mishnah writes, the mother is a nefesh, so her life will take precedence over the life of the fetus. Hashem came once the fetus is born, then the fetus is a nefesh. That's what Rashi then understands the Mishnah in a very literal way. And doch a nefesh and a nefesh. And the Rambam has a different interpretation. We asked a number of questions. The Rambam, we try to resolve it with a number of different approaches. The Rambam indicates that the Uber has a status of a rodef. However, he writes, in the Shaotzi Rosha, once the Ubar emerges, ain't no gimbo. Shein dech ha-nefesh ha-nefesh, zel tilo shel olam. The last few words in the Rambam is a reflection of the Gemara, that the Gemara says, mishmaya ka-arachubet, that we assume that what's happening now is essentially an act of God. Mishmaya ka-arachubet. So today, this year, we want to begin to explore not this piece of paper, which has in it the Rambam, but begin the exploration of another very, very significant issue, maybe the most significant issue in the context of what's happening in the United States with the toppling of Roe and Wade. So this issue, of course, is very significant and becoming incredibly volatile, explosive kind of issue.
I'm sorry, what's the difference between Rashi and the Rambam?
Okay, that's what we tried to speak about, but I don't know if I can once again go through the whole calibration, because it's true, it's a little complicated. But there are two different concepts. Rodev is one concept, and Nefesh is another concept. Rav Chaim Riska, which we saw last week, attempted to somehow find a position between these two, and claims that really what the Rambam. I mean, the fetus is a partial nefesh, a mitzas nefesh. But once the fetus emerges, then it becomes a complete nefesh. So they'll get to a number of sugyos in Shas, let's say, with reference to, I spoke about this on Shabbos in a different context entirely, about the person who is hit by 10 people. The question is, who's responsible? The famous sugya. And the issue is, the last one, because he's the lack of a patish, as a result of what he did, the person dies. But we can assume each one made a, quote-unquote, pardon the expression, a contribution to this ultimate death of the individual. But the Gemara discusses there, must you kill the nefesh? I even called him a nefesh. That's what the Gemara had this concept of a mixas nefesh. So apparently that's what we have over here. And the deep of Rashi is that when does the fetus become a nefesh? Only when it emerges. And death and nefesh, but till then, or prior to that, it's perhaps a partial nefesh. Because what the Rambam sheet is, why you had to come on to Rodev, And this is really what you're asking to a large extent, but I just can't address it fully. But I just, today, would like to talk about a very significant issue, which of course is emerging in the United States in a very explosive kind of way. Namely, what does it mean? We overturned Roe v. Wade, which was a Supreme Court decision, how many years ago? 70 years ago. And now suddenly they topple it. And obviously abortion till this point in time, Baruch Hashem, going to those who are in favor of abortion, no problem. You can obtain it left and right without any inhibitions, no limitations. So now the question is, what about, according to the tshuva of Avraham Feinstein, which we actually began to read, I was going to read a bit further of it, but I'm not sure that it would require, again, another shear. So Rav Moshe indicated clearly, based on the Tesadin and Tesadidah, that even though there's a distinction between a Goy and a Jew, for a non-Jew, this is abortion, is considered to be an act of Ritzicha, and for a Jew, it's also. But it's not the level of Ritzicha, but it's also, unquestionably. This is the subject of the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And now the question, of course, rises, people, when there's sometimes danger to the mother, and the mother might commit suicide if she were to have a child that she doesn't want, is that a basis for heter of abortion? Would that permit the act of abortion? And again, not just this issue, but as you undoubtedly are aware, we're talking about a whole slew of issues, namely incest, a child that's born as a result of incest, a rape, and a host of other situations that are now being discussed at great length in the United States. So let's first just address the initial issue that I just mentioned. And the fact of the matter is that the abortion, as we said from a halachic standpoint, is not murder per se, only for a non-Jew. That's what the Gemara raises the issue. How is it possible? Mikamidi, that for a non-Jew, it's more chomor than it is for a Jew. How's that possible? It seems to be something which is completely illogical, something which has absolutely, is there another copy of that? There is, of course, in my copy right now, I have another one somewhere. So, as I said, these are some of the weighty issues. Yes, thank you. These are some of the weighty issues that are presently being discussed in the United States at great length. So, as I said, I'm not only talking about psychological issues, but rape, incest, or let's say during the days that there were, God forbid, cases of German measles, or thalidomide babies, all that, a host of cases like that. So then the question is there a makom to be lenient regarding our position on abortion? So one of the famous shooting is from the Marit. Now, the Marit is from the Trani family. And there's a well-known, very illustrious family, several generations. And he's a contemporary, the Marit himself, the Beis Yosef. I believe he lived in Turkey, if I'm not mistaken. We have to ask the law here. But I believe that's the case of the Marit, even though many of the Tranis were in Italy. And this is a very, as I said, colorful, incredibly well-grounded, well-founded family. And the two questions we'll ask them, and one is it, and this is how we'll begin the conversation, we'll probably have to continue it, is it mutar, in effect, to go ahead and consort with a non-Jewish woman, and she becomes pregnant? I mean, his answer seems to be fairly self-evident, at least to that question. But the second question that he raised here as well, namely, is it permissible now to perform an abortion on that non-Jewish woman that a Jew consorted with and had a child with? And can a Jewish doctor go ahead and perform that abortion? Now, the Marit was actually misinterpreted by many. That's what we'll see, hopefully, to this evening, perhaps another shiur, that let's take a look at the, we'll read the tshuva inside, part of it, and let's see what exactly he's talking about. I try to underline the relevant sections that are going to be critical for us. V'sheshalten, Imuta lehisasik in goya lehisaber oshe tapil miyesh bedomar isur machmad ibu nefasha shehem goya. Talking about non-Jews? So maybe we'll read the paragraph that I didn't underline, just to get a sense of what he's referring to. He quotes a famous Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Which means that a Jewish woman cannot serve as a midwife to help a non-Jew give birth. Why? Because the assumption was that the non-Jewish child is going to be in an idolater. The Gemara comments, however, and he quotes it, this heter of Eva is a very famous heter the Gemara has there in Avodah Zarah, and that's the heter that the Mishnah Berurah quotes regarding treating a non-Jew on Shabbos. A Jewish doctor treating a non-Jew on Shabbos, the heter is Mishum Eva. I think this is a well-known position of the Gdolei HaPoskim, Shel Zmanenu, it's been elaborated on, but the Mishnah Berurah himself is the one actually incites this psak. But the Gemara there are talking about a midwife helping a non-Jewish woman give birth. And the reason why you should not do so is because in the Alanis Ben Avodah Zarah, of Yisrael Shari. Asher Usham is really a different concept. I'm not sure that it has applicability over here. But Asher Usham, the Gemara says, with reference to the stira that Chazal asked regarding Yishmael. So on the one hand, Basher Usha. On the other hand, it's clear that Yishmael ben Sarah Moria, that's exactly the stira that's asked by many. Ben Sarah Moria, as the Gemara says, Chazal already saw the future of this individual. So for Leom, Lasser is Abrios, and he's going to, in order to be able to maintain his quote unquote lifestyle, I can use such a language of gluttony and the like. So he's going to start engaging in thievery and stealing and the like. And therefore, you're the Torah, the same Daita Shavitzer and Vera, Muto Shiyama Zaka, Vayom Mashiach. That, of course, is not in sync with the Gemara that Rabbi Weiss quoted in Rosh Hashanah, which Rashi Chumash cites as well in the context of Hagar and Yishmael, her son, Basher Usham. Namely, at this point, what is the individual, where is it, where are they at? Are they Tzadikim? Are they Roshoyim? Right now, the fellow seems to be a nice young man and seems to be wholesome and seems to be someone who clearly is in a good way. So how will you reconcile the two? And this is the subject of a lot of discussion among the exam. But I don't think that issue is nogea to this. Bashir Usham is a different concept, a different halacha than what we're talking about here. The issue is very simple. The Gemara and Avodah Zarah, the Alet is Beg, Avodah Zarah. That's what we're, that even though it's true. Okay, so you take a look, that's not our issue, is really what goes on beyond that. He says he further, when do you apply Ava? I mentioned many years ago, I think several decades ago, there was a story in Borough Park, way before Hatzalah, way before all these organizations came to the fore. And a person was in a car accident, and there was a Jewish doctor apparently passing by. The person was obviously injured in a very critical way, bleeding. And the Jewish doctor bent down, was on Shabbos, and asked the person whether they're Jewish or not. And apparently people overheard. There was almost a pogrom in Borough Park at that point in time. That's the Mishnah Berurah had the Mishnah Berurah, that people often ask the young medical students who are my talmidim who go to medical school. Now the question is, what should they do? This is not my issue now. Should they opt for a Shomer Shabbos residency? Of course, that's ideal. That one should be an intern in the Shomer Shabbos intern context. One should be a resident in the Shomer Shabbos context. But now the question is, let's say the Shomer Shabbos residency is not qualitatively, from a medical perspective, doesn't have the same kind of status as the other medical school, which is way, way beyond in terms of what it offers medically, technologically, knowledge-wise, and the Shomer Shabbos residency is in a inferior kind of institution. So I'll gain more by going to the other ones. Is that a makom l'hakel? In general, I always tell them, those who know, so we're not even going to Shomer Shabbos residency, it's not always possible. But they should try to switch. With a non-Jew, usually it's not difficult. In most cases, there's sometimes exceptions. Namely, switch Shabbos to Sunday. Because nobody wants to work on Sunday. Sunday is the end of the Pagra. And Shabbos is a regular weekday, a regular working day. So they often are able to do so, even those who don't have a non-Shom Shabbos residency. And then the question is, let's say you're treating patients, and sometimes you have Jewish patients, non-Jewish patients, depends where you are, what city you're in, what context you're in, what hospital you're in, and is it better for a quote-unquote non-Jewish doctor to do Chal Shabbos? Of course. On the contrary, the Gemara says that Goyish Shabbos Chayim Misa, so clearly there's no problem. What about a Jewish doctor? Is it better for a Jewish doctor who's observant, it's wrong, to treat the patient, or a non-observant Jewish doctor to treat the patient as Michal Shabbos anyway? Again, another very, very fascinating, beautiful discussion among the Goli Aposkin, that the Jewish doctor is going to perform whatever he has to do, the Frum, what will do in the Shem Shamayim, and go to the Mekayim HaMitzvah. Hashem, the non-observant one, will just do it because he's a doctor and he carries out the oath that he undertook. Correct, correct. All kinds of talmud that are mentioned by the Goli Aposkin. Okay, but here, back here, the issue, when is Eva relevant, when is it not relevant, etc. So that's what he talks about. And then he writes in the paragraph, the record below the bottom line, and you are merape the Israeli achera dika eva and yimana mifuasam ulatos dika mavana ulamshad mifuasam aser. He has a lack of them. Okay, that's not what I'm interested in. I want to get to the next line, which is the critical line. So uskurani shariti the rashbazal b'tshuva shehin al rabban. This goes on now to the next slide. The rashba is made regarding the rabban. Then the shomer. Now he's citing the rashba. And the Rashba is quoting the Rabbah. Shenisasik in Goya Achas, Shetisaber Bishak. Again, that's the heter, that the non Jewish woman will give birth, and you help her give birth, you're being paid for it. Ulisasik ima Shetapil ima pre vitna. What about getting involved with the non Jewish woman that she should abort her child? Ibun Nefoshos Eta. There is no issue of ibud nefashos. It's not an act of murder. Ya'afilu b'Yisrael, nefalim la'nevashu. Even among Jews, nefalim, which referred to a miscarriage, a nefel, is not called a nefesh. U'mamanu d'chayichi rachmanu d'men blad l'sabal v'yitziv, kashi yoshes ala balo isha. That's the pasuk of Chumash that... But the Torah says, "Ki not so anoshim yachad of people are fighting with each other." V'nokfu isha hora v'yatzul yadel v'lo yehasam anoshim yonesh kasher yoshes shalom v'alo isha v'nasam v'flidut. So the obligation is to pay dmei blados. V'reisha nechlokim sadid naminu v'isach l'michtem maki ish v'meis v'isach l'michtem kol maki nefesh iksin kol maki nefesh ha'mamin afilo nefolim. Mashul know that a nefel is not considered to be a nefesh. So here we're talking about, again, a situation of a non-Jewish woman. And the question is performing abortion on a non-Jewish woman. So the Rashba goes to the Rabban, Ibun the first or same time. Even a nefel is not considered to be a nefesh. And then he goes on to cite the other resources of the sources, the Gemara Dinan and Dalid, Kol Nefesh of Rabban's Kod Ben Yomechel. Mashra Kol Nefesh, Abil Nefesh Koldu, Alma, the Falam, Abil Nefesh Koldu, Lomikri. The name was not even called the Nefesh Koldu. It was some parakam of the Erechim. This is the Mishnah, also that we studied a few sessions ago. Aisha Sheyotza the Hore, the woman was on death row, correct? Eimam Tivulat Shetele. Even though she's close to giving birth, you don't wait. Whereas the Kash of Shita, Gufahi, Tolkodaito, I mean, oh, Siva Sheyotza Sotabal Aisha, Mamun, the Balu, Lalitsa, Minei. He's going to sustain a loss because the child belongs to the father, and the father will sustain a monetary loss if you kill the mother, though she is worthy of execution. We're not worried about even the fascists. Namely, that the child, the fetus, will be subject to an act of murder. The whole issue that we must consider about the husband sustaining a monetary loss regarding the child. I mean, asam aisha sheyotza lehari makin asam gerei beseraya chalam. The sheyomus hablat chila. On the contrary, you know whom you first direct your attention to, the child, the area where the child is. Shal tovu they nivo. Alma b'shul nivo aim horgan ayelu biyadayim lachoshim shuvim nefarshas hilkoch. And then with the maskani he comes to. And this is what the tshuva of the Marit, Meshe Mitzvani, that this is the maskana that he comes to. Now, essentially, as I said, many later poskim misunderstood this Marit. And there's an issue here. If you take a look at the beginning, at the top line, they didn't have a period on the top line where it says "Shenesasi in goya achas shetisaver bishak," and then there's a period, and then there's a new topic, a second topic, where "Shenesasi gino shetabelim apribitum." There are two issues that are being addressed here. One is helping a non-Jewish woman serving as a midwife, doing midwifery because you're being paid. That's one issue. And then the second issue about abortion, aborting a child. So these are two separate issues. And the chiddush of the Marit is that aborting a child is not considered to be an act of murder, even by a Jew. If I kill the Uber, said the Marit over here, why am I chayav? Because I have to pay the husband. That's the issue. The issue is a monetary loss to the husband, because the Torah considers the child to be under the bailiwick, under the legal proprietary of the husband. That's what the pasuk says. Kasha yashis alav bala isha minasam b'flilin. So, essentially, what you have here in this tshuva of the Marit, there are two separate issues, and unfortunately, as I said, many combine these two issues, combine the two segments together, and this is what many poskim point out. But the Mishnah in Erechim that's also cited here by the Marit, namely the Mishnah about a woman who's on death row, and we actually even go ahead and kill her. But whom do we kill first? The Vlad, the area where the Heroin is taking place. That was the Gemara says, the Milsa de Pshita, and therefore, the Netzorach Imo Nira Shemuta de Sasek. Ima, what is the tzorach of the mother? The Marit does not mention what the tzorach is. Apparently, the tzorach is her welfare, but not necessarily endangering her life. And since it's not murder, but a lesser prohibition, so it's permitted. Now, the difficulty with this Marit, as I said, he starts with a goya. That's how he begins this conversation. Nisasing goya achash and tzabir b'shar, and he ends with a Yisraelis. So something is missing over here. Something is not. Something is awry. So the problem is that the Marit has another tshuva. And we'll just read this next issue. There's a stira in the Marit. Everyone asks the stira. That's what we're going to be focused on. Anyway, let's read the Bible, because he more or less summarizes in this sefer, which is called the Rafua Le'or Halakha. It's an old sefer. Collection of essays. I think he put it together. The one who put together Rabbi Brat Shlita, all the Kisayad Rishayim, he was the Rashi at Skoki for Tkufa, and he was in the Avisal Chana for Tkufa. He was one of the first to work on the Avershah. He put together, he was an astounding person. I was honored to meet him 45 years ago, it was 50 years ago when he came to the United States. He used to come, he traveled all over the world to look at Kisayad. So he was in the Vatican, he was in the Bodleian Library. He was in Spain. He was all over the place. He was just a remarkable Talmud Chacham. He has a son-in-law who put out all these svarim with diagrams on Erevin and Sukkah. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Peresh Chai. That's the son-in-law of Rav Moshe Herschel, which was really, I mean, he was very ahead of himself. He was Rav Moshe Herschel. He was almost I had a two of the Rosh Hashiva. They said he was a Navi. They called him a Navi. He saw the value of Kisvei Yad that no one really had any hasoga of. And he was the first one to produce and to publish and annotate all this Kisvei Yad in the most beautiful way. He was a goyim himself, just a mind-boggling.
What?
Rabbi Blau was of a totally different nature. He put out, I remember when I learned Bava Basra, so I was a bacher, and there was no ritva available on Bava Basra. Rabbi Blau came along, he found Kisvei Yad. I'm talking about the one who put out many, many svarim, those red svarim, those red volumes. Well, he's a Mira. Learned the Mira Shira. So they claimed, I heard different, if you look at there's exactly what he did. He was a very, very bright fellow. But some say he was able to either memorize all the Kisvei Yad, which is very difficult to for me to stomach that theory. Or the other position was he was able to smuggle it out. They had microfish, microfilm, what do they call it? Then I forgot the terminology that was used. Rats, if you remember that. Anyway, he snuck out of the Vatican. He produced Kisvei Yad. They claim that's what I. Anyway, so he sold it to us for a very exorbitant price. And that time, the Resh Kelo, today's right now, he felt that it was a little bit excessive. But he obviously, in order to get those Kisvei Yad, he probably. I don't know how much money he had to spend and who he had to bribe and what he had to do. He was selling for these small volumes. He wanted for each volume $50, maybe $100 per volume. So the Shkolo said, we're not going to buy it. We had about 40, 50 people learning. I was a bacher, but there were many people in Shkolo learning about Basra. And we got him to reduce the price to $25 per volume. So it was $50 per set. I'm reminded when I see this firm, we are downstairs. They sell the 10 shekel and for it. It's really amazing. So, but that time it was a mitzvah, that mitzvah. We used a lot of it. We used the mitzvah of Basra. Without him, you can't move. I mean, in general, without the mitzvah, you can't move. You're about a Muslim sectors and shas. So, okay, I'm just mentioning that. So, here, if you go back now to the bottom here. He writes in Chumazum, who wears the Asa Barit Sheikhal, Yidin Shalim, the first Barigas Umar. There's no issue of feticide, of murder when it comes to killing Umar. And he has the Gemaras that he mentioned. He mentioned a number of Gemaras that we saw just now. And now he says, Yesh Lahayim al Ta'ud, Asher Nafa, Ba'abana Diri and Chuba, Ekab Ta'ud, the Kriyasa, Ugdolim Barbara, Ba'abana Bazet. He's talking about what I'm about to do, what I just mentioned in passing, and this you'll see in a moment. What he writes of me, I think this article was written by Moshe Herschel himself, if I'm not mistaken. And he goes on the next page. This is going on for page Dubains. I think I missed here a few pages, if I'm not mistaken. That I did not Xerox because I more or less wanted to just to, I didn't want to go through all these, it has a lot of discussion on those, and that first slide going on to the second line. But here on top, more or less, he said, Sheid al Rabban. She was sassing in Nochin, the Sasha to Saber, Kansel Possum. The Hazel Bobish Farah, Shane McCloud, and Shrizel Obama. That's my story. So I let go of the other two pages, three pages, whatever it is. But there are two separate issues that are being discussed over here. And then he goes on here to discuss, again, if you take a look at the next, okay, I didn't underline it, but we can read it anyway. But again, to the second question, the sassing in Nochin, Shatapa, Bibitna, even the first day in Khan. There's no issue of abortion. It reference to the non-Jewish woman. All this is going on the first question. Can I help? Can I serve as a midwife to a non-Jewish woman to help her give birth? But it doesn't go on the second question. So this is the mistake that people make. And the Rabban was only concerned, said the Rashba, about the first issue. And then it goes on. It goes to the Beis Yosef, it brings to the Berak Abay, the Rashba, Shemut the Lassa before the Nachmish to Taber, or Shemut the Lialet. Of course, you're allowed to go ahead and help a non-Jewish woman give birth, just as you're allowed to the Mishnah of the Zohar that we started with, hey, no, I'm not just a Batsim, okay? I don't should take Taber, she should become pregnant. The Sulo, Shabu, Nabiliyon, of Israel, Malta, Tobo, La Brafa, Shebeta, Zamish, La Malik. What a language. Look what you did. You caused more Amalekites to emerge. You never would have said Ma'ariel al Zeh. Okay, anyway, the Kitzur, he's just simply trying to be mechalik between the two situations. One, namely, that the Ramban began with the issue of a Goya, and then goes on to speak about the Israelis. Okay, but what our interest really is the next discussion, which is now going to be a stira in the Marit. There's a Marit in another tshuva, Tshuva Tzadik Zayin, that contradicts the first tshuva that we saw. And that's what we're going to try to talk about. There's a discussion in Rishonim, which we spent 2 weeks ago, we spoke about this. What exactly, when the Tosfos writes twice, Kulin, he writes it Nida, writes it Tzadeden, that abortion is not permissible, but he doesn't tell you what the Isser is. So we mentioned a number of possibilities. One of them he mentions right here. Tosfos Kulin, Midin Chavola. It's not in the page three, also from the bottom of the page today here. This is hard to understand. Namely, chayeha, that her life comes before the life of the child. If it won't be that the mother's life is in danger, why is it saying that one life takes precedence over the other? By the way, in the Tshuva Rav Moshe that we did read completely last week, but Rav Moshe basically writes, both lives are in Sakona, but only one life can be saved. Either the mother's life or the child's life. Now the question is, which one? Which one takes precedence? And that's what the Mishnah tells us, the Klolim in reference to this matter. But now he's going to bring a number of proofs in performing an abortion from the Gemara Ne'erachin. So we see that for the Gemara Ne'erachin, something the Parshos, that's the right at the top of the page here, page Nun Vav, is from that Sugi Ne'erachin, Aisha Shirasha Lamashper, Umesa B'Shabbos. The woman is sitting on the burning stool and she dies. What's it did? And she's pregnant, but being Sakin Okan has person, Mosina Sablah. You go and save the child. You can actually cut her and do some whatever surgery is necessary in order to save the child. You can even bring a sakin in a shusarabim. There's a sum in the first verse over here, and that's the Dechen Shabbos. So he goes on to bring the Tosfos Sanhedrin, Tosfos Chulin. That the issue that I mentioned a few moments ago, he says the old paragdal misa ben noach neragal upe. We know that for a non-Jew, abortion is murder. And the Gemara has two psukim: one shem of dam, other of adam. Another pasuk: come on, bach pirka. I mean, the lack of edim disog shori the goyasa. This is the problem that the Rishonim had a fascinating difficulty with. The Gemara has a difficulty with it. How is it possible? Abortion is also for a Jew as well. So how can you perform an abortion when you take the mother out to put her to death? There's an issue of abortion. So he gives actually the Ishta Taretz. He gives actually two answers. One answer is the Yotzi Lahari Shaira, a woman who's on death row. Her situation is that all of a sudden they argue Nimo, Uba Yerachimo, I mean, the parakets of our even. Shum Nimo the Imam and Kabinu Le Nisa. One answer is he killed the Uba before the mother in order to avoid the disgrace of the mother. But what about Nimo? Nimo is general, Isa of Nimo Lames. Inami, a second answer. Ubar is not called a nefesh. Bilab ki yoladom. So there are two tibutim here. Number one, the case of a woman on death row. So Uba Yerachima. That's what Rabbi Moshe Feinstein wrote. Does you kill the Ubar before the mother? Because you don't want the mother to be disgraced. You don't want there to be any kind of nibble. And the second answer, the Inami, Ubar lab nefesh. In reality, the Uba is not considered to be a nefesh, and therefore he writes, you can go ahead and you can kill the Uba. And the special cases where the mother already died, that's the finish of the Gemara in Erechim. And the child is what the Gemara calls Kibunach Makufsa, sort of inside a kind of box. And then it's permissible to the Mechal Shabbos to save the life of the child. So he goes on to quote here, the Machlokes of Rishonim, Begani Chilul, Shabbos, and the Ubar, and then look towards the bottom of the page. All right, the number is there, the paragraph before the end. Yesh of the phone did the Farshas Bukhti, whether a Nepal has a din of a Nefesh, is a Machokes, the serving the Farshas Alkal Achyosan, Koshke, Shalom Glamayan. So, certainly not to perform an abortion. We know Yafidul and the phone, the Goyim. At least there's an issue regarding the issue of a nefel regarding a good. I feel the ten of Hashem in there. Should we go and show the garment? We talk about the next page. He says the sasing moem she apilum gavul of the evil city mishol pishem uzarmal on the follow and around the malaya. But basically, he's saying that this is very clear. That you're not allowed to be mapil and uber goy. That's awesome. That's abortion. A non-Jewish child is an Issa Daraisa. Even for a Jew, the woman abortion on a goy, can a Jewish doctor do an abortion on a goy? So he says, here, there's an Issa Daraisa. That's where the Issa of the evil city Mishal is applicable. Like in any other case where you assist someone to do an Abeira. And he goes on to, he gives you a number of cases in the Gemara. You can't give a kos yain to a nozit. That's a teira. Nor can you give an eira chayin lenoach. But the shem misses. Tamalima, the neira lo tzitim mishol. Im lo sheyesh rov machin shiomulem lo kohavar. Alek of the koyim to even the dairo. Okay, I mean, awesome. That's the problem. The Gemara has with the neira. If it's available, they'd be able to be over there. Anyway, means if you're the only one to do the avera, then you have the teira. So if you can't get the cup of wine without you, then you have the Ibe. So if she can only get to a Jewish doctor, then it'll be usher for the Jewish doctor to do the abortion. So it comes out that according to this tshuva, an Uber is a suffi nefesh. And therefore, usher ma'apil Uber. You would not be allowed to abort a Uber, except in circumstances where it would save the life of the mother. So in the realm of Ibu the Fashos, so this tshuva basically contradicts the previous tshuva of the Marit. This is Agla Stira in two tshuvas of the Marit, one is Tzadik Zayin, one is Tzadik Tes. And this became the subject of enormous amount of literature among the Goli Achronim, trying to be miyashay. This Stira in the Marit, is the Ubar considered to be even the Fashos, or is it not even the Fashos? In the end of this packet, I attached the Tzitz Eliezer. So he has actually, he basically tries to put the two tshuvas together. And in order for him to do so, he has to do some fancy candy work. I'm not joking. I don't know if I have time to read the entire tshuva. But he has in that tshuva, the Marid changing his mind. And he goes ahead and somehow moves the paragraphs of the Marit around. Unbelievable, Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer was such a phenomenal day. I just, the one who just was nifted the Levaya today, Rav Yitzhak Tugia Weiss. So I was able to meet him a number of times. There's someone in my extended family was a granddaughter of his. So I, through her, I came to meet him. He was a towering goal. He and Rav Moshe Sternberg, the world of Chaim Arukin, Matalbinim, he probably, maybe the South Africans here know, are going to Rav Moshe Schneider in London, Schneider's yeshiva in London, very famous yeshiva. And two of the daily that came out of that yeshiva were this Rav Tugia Weiss, that's all. And his chaver are going to Rav Moshe Sternberg, the world of Chaim Arukin, Rav Moshe Sternberg. And that's correct. There's a famous, you know that story probably, that they both were very instrumental in assisting the Rebbe, Rosh Shira, and Rosh Schneider, who was a giant. I heard from many English people, older English people, who were such to learn by him. So he basically gave out two brachas to the two Moshes. He said, one's going to be a goyim, and one's going to be a raifi. The kachava, one became a very wealthy Reichman family, Moshe Reichman, whom I knew in Toronto, family of Ness about Stockholm. And the other became the guy, the Moshe Sternberg. Anyway, but the Tzitz Eliezer, you have to spend 100 hours reading this tshuva. You don't have appreciation of what he did here with this Marid. He just turned the whole Marid upside down, go to Miyashe. They couldn't fathom a steer in the Marid. I go to the fine scenes, that's how it told me, because there were. It was a tkufa of 7 years. Every year I went to Abdullah Faxin. And I used to bring him steerus, what I thought was steerus and English version. I had one English version that said one thing, And then I used to Xerox all the illustrations, and I brought them with me to the United States and showed to Abdullah Faxon. And the first time he met me, so I think he got a kick out of me. And then he told me at one point, as I told him in my background, and told him that this mountain is Chabusa. And so that warmed up the atmosphere very quickly. And he told me about my father, there are no students. But he wrote 7 years ago, he remembered 7 years later. But your problem is you're talking about salvation. You think the Ramban is writing. My father was not the Ramban. You have to examine every Rav HaChibur. My father wrote in a very, what's the word, unencumbered, freelance, free, open kind of way. You can't go ahead and make the yukim the way you make the yukim the Ramban. That's what he told me about the Faisin. And he reminded me of this a fair number of times every time I went in. I used to come with Sirius all the time. And he pointed out to me, he, by the way, didn't even need me. He was mentioned, didn't need my Xerox copies. He knew the whole Sefer Balpeh. All the bottoms. Balpeh. I once actually started up with an Adiris mission. I discovered he knew that too. There was no difference in the Adiris mission and the English mission by him. Such a genius. And a man of shame come home. Okay, so the Achrayim could not handle the Marit. We're talking about what the daily apostle came hundreds of years ago. There's no steerers in the Marit. But since Eliezer does want this, that's how I'm going to examine. But I want to show you a much easier solution of doing the Moshe Feinstein, that's all, to the steerers of the Marit. Okay, so I will not do it tonight. I'll have to wait for the next session. Maybe it'll be next Sunday night. It's my citation of that will be, but the following week, Mr. Hashem, so I'll review the Marit, the Sira, and then we'll read the Tshuva of Moshe Feinstein. Also, we'll see two other Tshuvas of Yaakov Ender and the Chabas Yorah, who dealt with also the Sira, the Marit, and we'll see how it could be the Hashem. So, you want me to hold on to the Pedigree, or you can hold on to it yourself, whatever you like, whatever.